again, Cal Banyan, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc., where we bring you all kinds of cool stuff about hypnosis and etc., stuff related to hypnosis. And I am right in the middle of the Dead series. That's right. If you're watching this anywhere except calbanyan.com, right there, go there now, because right below this video, right down there, is additional text, graphics, links, and stuff like that that just make these videos a lot more valuable. There's people out there that on the web, they subscribe to this, and then they put the same videos on their website just because it's such good content. And then you know what? But they don't have the good stuff down there. They just have the videos. So if you're watching this anywhere except calbanyan.com, go there now. Hey, this is going to be another all Cal episode. I've got it all arranged. Next episode is going to be with a co-host. And I don't know exactly when you're going to watch this one. I think you're going to watch it just before I do the next bunch of videos with Meredith. And Meredith, she's just gushing with enthusiasm after having completed the Solid Gold Weekend and getting herself all set up to do the NGH convention where she'll be doing a talk. All right. By the way, let me just tell you, I'm so doggone proud of our co-hosts, Celeste Hackett, L. Ron Ferguson, Meredith Locker, for stepping up. Did you know they do the podcast? They get no money for it. They don't get any percentage or anything like that. They just do it to help out. Just to help out, to help me out, to help you out, to lift the profession, and I really admire that. That they would do that for you guys and for us, and you know, send them a love email and just say, hey, thanks for what you do. All right, here we go. Oh, before we get started, Week of Power Advanced Hypnotherapy Certification Course, May 20th through the 26th, early registration discount. I forget to mention this sometimes, but all of our programs, except for the ones we have with the NGH, because they are running those programs like at the convention, but all of our regularly scheduled programs tend to have early registration discounts. So you can save hundreds of dollars if you will take advantage of the early registration discount. And so there's Week of Power. It's coming up in May, so that means there's early registration discount. I always look over there because that's where my big schedule is on the wall. And we've got the NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course with 5-Path and 7-Path coming up in July and coming up in October. And both of those qualify for early registration discounts. So go there. A good place to find out the schedule, probably be a link right down below, take you to either hypnosiscenter.com or hypnosis.org. Oh, and by the way, last video I said go to hypnosis.org now and learn how to do the rapid induction. It's free. I'll send you a link to the video, and if you haven't done it yet, you say, oh, I forgot, I didn't have time, do it now. hypnosis.org, right there, right below us. If you can't, don't want to type it in, there's probably a link right down below. Go there now, and I'll send you a link, and you'll get that how to do the Elman Banyan induction, and you can just take the old progressive relaxation, give it the burial it deserves. Now, continuing with the DEAD series, the DEAD series, things that should be dead in the hypnosis profession. Oh, I just got some ideas. Some things that should be dead that I need to write down here, because you know what, I want to cover them, and I'm gonna put them right down here. Dead, sleep, under. Okay, that'll get me started. All right, DEAD series. What's next? I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen out there who I respect. You've had what I call classical training. And in classical training, you know what they do? They say things like, you should always use suggestibility tests before doing your hypnosis session. And they'll cite some reasons, and the reasons might be it warms up the client, you know, helps you to build rapport with the client. It might help the client to feel more confident that they can do hypnosis, and they might, you know, if done expertly and everything goes right, It might make them feel confident in you and as a hypnotist and all this stuff. Oh, one other thing they like to say is suggestibility tests help you to find out whether or not a client is going to respond well to a permissive or a directive induction. Okay, and all of those are very, very good reasons for doing suggestibility tests if nothing goes wrong. There's the catch. If nothing goes wrong, I mean, if they pass every single suggestibility test, then all those things are true. It warms them up, helps to build rapport. It helps to build their confidence. And if you need the information, which I don't, you could learn as to whether or not you should use a permissive or a directive induction when you're working with the client. Now, here's the problem. I've said it before, said it again. I know I will say it again. In fact, I just wrote my latest article for the Journal of Hypnotism, and this is it. Hypnosis is a confidence game. If you don't get their confidence, there's no game. And any failure on your part or on the part of the client lowers their confidence. Now, let's talk about what tests are. A test is only as good as its ability to fail someone. That's right. A test is like a razor. It cuts a population, and there's the pass and there's the fails. Some people pass and some people fail. And if you start doing suggestibility tests, some people are going to pass and some people are going to fail. And my thoughts on this, you should never, ever, ever, ever do any kind of test with a client that has any possibility at all within reasonable realm of thinking that they could fail. Like, how do you get out of that? Let's say you do that. You know, you say, okay, I want to do a little bit of work with you to find out a little bit about you and your hypnotizability. And you have them do the hand clasp test. And you say, try to pull them apart. And they pull them apart. How do you recover from that? Oh, that wasn't important. Don't worry about it. They know that you're not being truthful. What if you do the hands rising and falling test, and they open their eyes, and their hands are like right even? How do you recover from that? Okay, so I say, don't do suggestibility tests, because there's at least some probability, a significant probability, that they could fail. And if they fail the test, then their confidence will go down. And if low confidence in you, low confidence in hypnosis, low confidence in themselves to be hypnotized will absolutely rob your client of his or her potential for success when using hypnosis. So don't do them. I know, I can already feel the heat. People going, oh, I gotta write that Cal. I'm gonna write him an email. Don't write me an email. Put a comment down there. If you think I'm wrong, tell me why. I am a logical guy. I reserve the right to change my mind when I am confronted with truthful, logical, significant information contrary to my beliefs. So if you think that I am wrong, just put down there in the comments section, Cal Banyan, you are wrong about suggestibility tests, because you know why? Because number one, number two, number three, I'm not afraid of the truth, and neither should you. But the truth is, in my experience and logic of the mind, that a test is only as good as its ability to fail someone. And so if these are true suggestibility tests, then they have the ability to fail some people. And when you fail people in a session or in the beginning of a session or before you do a session, that's the worst possible thing that you could ever do. That you could ever do to your client just before you get started. So don't do it. Now, another thing is this idea of, well, you know, doing the suggestibility tests, you see, I don't know if you know about suggestibility tests, but some of them are more directive and some of them are more permissive, more authoritarian or maternal, paternal, maternal. this kind of stuff. And what they would do is, if these people who are proponents of suggestibility tests, they'd say, okay, I'll give them a maternal suggestibility test and then a paternal suggestibility test, directive and non-directive. And then whichever one they respond best to, that's the kind of induction I'll use, because there are some inductions that are more maternal and some that are more paternal, more non-directive, more directive, more permissive, more non-directive, however you want to think about it. Okay, which basically means, I can't give a whole course here on this short video, but permissive is where you're kind of saying, gosh, you ask people to do stuff and you get the permission to do stuff. Like you say, gosh, if you don't mind, I'd like you to just take a nice deep breath, and then when you feel like it, it would be really helpful if you just exhale it and just allow your eyelids to close. Now that's being very maternal, being very permissive, non-directive kind of thing, as opposed to the more directive way where you say, take a nice deep breath, exhale, close your eyes, which is more instructional. You just give them some direction and they follow it. Now, all things being equal, the directive approach is more efficient. It just takes less time. And I could do another whole podcast on why you should do directive instead of permissive, and the exception to that rule of when you should do permissive instead of directive. You know, people say, Cal, aren't you afraid you're ever going to run out of stuff to talk about? I mean, here I am over 260 episodes, and I have not run out of stuff to talk about. Hypnosis is like evergreen. It's always going to be interesting. We're always learning new stuff. Everybody has an opinion, and I just don't think I'm ever going to run out of stuff to talk about. And then when I have co-hosts on, L. Ron and Meredith or Celeste or whoever, like Dr. Dwight Damon, president of the NGH, then they have their opinions. So we're never going to run out of stuff to talk about on this show. So, what should you do? You should just, all right, talk about this in class. You know, I have people that come to my class, they got maybe a GED, or they might have a high school diploma, or a bachelor's degree, or a master's degree, or PhD, or MD, or they might be licensed or unlicensed as mental health professionals or medical professionals. And I tell them, you know what the biggest, best degree you could ever have coming into this profession? And I say, an LE. Not a MA, not a BA, BS, PhD, PsyD, or any of that stuff. It's an LE, and that is life experience. One of the best things that could ever happen to you in this profession is to be 30 or 40 years old, having been employed, having helped to raise a family, this kind of stuff, interacted with people. Because life experience is people experience. And you get a feeling just from having been around the block a few times, of having to deal with your family, or having to have dealt with people at work, that. Some people you gotta be more permissive with, and some people just take instructions and get the job done. And we've been honing that skill for 30, 40 plus years, and you know what? Just in a few minutes of talking to someone, 5 minutes, probably even less, probably in a couple minutes, as soon as you've had a little bit of dialogue with someone, you get an idea as to whether or not they're ready to just follow instructions, or if you have to kind of cajole them into doing things. And so I don't think that suggestibility tests are really required for you to determine whether or not you need to proceed in a permissive or directive kind of way. Okay, so what do? The Elman-Vanian induction that I talked about last episode can be given in either a permissive or a directive tone. And mostly, by the time you've done your pre-talk, your pre-hypnosis talk, designed to remove fears and misconceptions, by the time you've done the pre-hypnosis interview where you've listened to their complaint, find out what their goal is, what they want to change, and you've been there listening with positive, unconditional regard, joining their side to work against the problem, you have been building rapport and trust. then when you are ready to actually do the hypnosis, you can probably move along in a directive way. But if you need to be permissive with them, that's okay. Be permissive, but as soon as you can, move into that more directive mode. I always think of directive mode as just giving directions, as opposed to being very having to get permission and cajoling them to do everything. And so, for example, when we start off with the Elman Banyan induction, we're just going to get permission. We have them sit down in the chair, and we say, "Would you like to do hypnosis with me now?" You look for any signs of discomfort, anxiety. If there's anxiety or discomfort, ask them about it and answer any questions they might have. Put them at ease with doing hypnosis. And when that is done, then the pre-talk is really done. Even though you thought it might have been done, once they are now at ease with the idea of going into hypnosis, we just say, "Can I have permission to touch your hand, your arm, your shoulder, maybe even your forehead?" They say yes. You say, "Take a look at my hand, take a nice deep breath, exhale, close your eyes." And then just proceed in that very kind of matter-of-fact, semi-relaxed, directive tone. You might proceed with something like this. "I'd like you to take your attention to your eyelids. You can relax your eyelids so much that they just won't work. Once you're sure that you've done that, give them a check to make sure they won't work." So that would be an example of a directive, very just giving directions kind of tone. So you don't need to do suggestibility testing. I was having a conversation with an individual with probably 55 or 60 years of experience in the profession. And he was really sold on this idea that we have to do suggestibility tests to be effective and to hypnotize people. And I had to just tell him, with all due respect, I love you, man, but we've conducted at our center thousands and thousands of hypnosis sessions successfully, helped a gazillion people, and we never do suggestibility tests. So obviously they are not required. So please, if you don't agree with that, please leave a comment down below. Now, let me get a couple things. Remember, I was writing some stuff down. Some other things that need to be dead, D-E-A-D, I'll just squeeze them in real quick, is the word wake up. Now here's, when you're emerging someone from hypnosis, say emerge, don't say wake up. If you tell somebody in a moment count from 1 to 3 and then you're going to wake up, the problem is hopefully they weren't asleep. If they were asleep, that's not hypnosis, right? And if you give the suggestion that now they need to wake up, that implies that they should have been asleep, and if they weren't asleep, which we don't want them to be asleep, what will happen is they will think, "Uh-oh, I didn't do it right, and it didn't work." And that's the worst way you can end a session, is with that doubting mind, and because it'll start to undo all of the work you've been doing. In most cases, we got to get rid of the word sleep. We don't want to say go into a deep, relaxing sleep. Okay, because hypnosis is not sleep. The only exception is when you do something like my 8-word induction. And gosh, you can just type into Google Cal Banyan 8-word induction, and you'll find information on that, on how to do that 8-word induction, which is even better than the Elman Banyan induction, because you can do it in about 4 seconds. Once you get that down, you can do the 3-word induction, which takes about 2 seconds. And then you can spend all of your time with the client doing quality stuff. So the exception to the word sleep is in the 8-word induction, we say the word sleep. And it's okay to do that if at first we tell our client, which we routinely do in our pre-talk, if the hypnotist used the word sleep, it's just kind of like short for close your eyes, go deeply relaxed. Sleep means close your eyes, go deeply relaxed, as if you were asleep. Okay? And once they know that, then it's okay to use the word sleep in an induction. But generally, in every other case, avoid the word sleep. Don't use the word, here's another word that should be D-E-A-D, dead. Dead. We should not use the word under, going under hypnosis. We don't go under hypnosis. We go deeper into hypnosis, or more specifically, we go more suggestible, become more and more highly suggestible. So we don't want to use the word under because it has two very negative connotations. Under anesthesia, chemical anesthesia, we don't want to use the word under hypnosis because they'll think like under anesthesia. And when you're under anesthesia, you are unconscious. When you're in hypnosis, you're conscious. You'll hear things that are going on around and stuff like that. So you do not want to imply to them by using the word under that they're going to be unconscious, because then when they are not unconscious, they think that they failed. That undermines everything you do. The other reason we don't want to use the word under is because what's the other thing that people become under? Under a spell, I know, under some, the influence of someone else. And so we don't want to use like, or a drug or alcohol or something like that. We don't want to use the word under. It is D-E-A-D, and that's it. All right, I am out of time. Make sure you join Facebook and go to facebook.com/hypnosis, etc. You'll get the latest and greatest information about this program. I post little tidbits of information during the week there from time to time about TV shows that talk about hypnosis or use hypnosis, or any other little bits of news that come across my desk. That's a way for us to keep in touch. All right, that's it. Remember, hypnosis.org, hypnosiscenter.com, and of course, CalBanyan.com. That's it. Hope to see you at the convention in August. This is Cal Banyan, signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.